This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Ohio's death penalty has long been a controversial topic, and now a growing movement of conservative activists and elected leaders want to eliminate the practice here. A bipartisan bill introduced in the Ohio General Assembly is the latest effort to abolish capital punishment in Ohio. The state's chapter of a national group called Conservatives Concerned About the Death Penalty has applauded the legislation, which is sponsored by some staunch conservatives in the Ohio House and Senate. Michael Hartley is a member of that organization and joins us now via Zoom. Michael, welcome to the program.
Hello, good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
So why are we having a conversation about it being significant that the those of the conservative political ideology are opposed to the death penalty?
Well, because to be perfectly honest, you go back 20 plus years ago when the death penalty was reinstituted in Ohio, that wasn't the case. Conservatives kind of across the board supported the concept of it. And I think over the last 20 years, you have seen a, and particularly more recently, you've seen a kind of a movement among conservatives to question for a number of reasons, ultimately, does the death penalty represent Ohio's values, and does it represent conservative values?
Well, let's talk about how it applies to conservative values. Mm-hmm. You have referenced before inefficiency, inequity, and inaccuracy. The group has, I should say. Mm-hmm. And, you know, inefficiency in government is something that can often be criticized by Republicans and conservatives. What's the inefficiency you see as it relates to the death penalty?
Well, I mean, the interesting thing among conservatives is there's a number of different reasons why, and there's kind of among conservatives, you have folks that believe, you know, the innocence issue, right? That's one thing. You talked about inefficiency. It's just the fact that, you know, it's on the books, but it's not. I think the inefficiency part is about it's on the books, but we can't even utilize it, right? Can't get the drugs, et cetera. And it's just, then you have the cost issue. You have those social conservatives like myself that kind of had a faith journey on this issue. So you have, you know, the idea of life being from conception to natural death, which is kind of how I changed my position. And that's the thing. A lot of conservatives have changed their positions over time. And I think that's been what we're seeing now is that is becoming far more prevalent.
May I ask, are you Catholic? Is that the faith that you're citing?
I am a converted Catholic, but a lot of it isn't just Catholicism. Some of the more staunch pro-life folks in the state who are not Catholic believe in, you know, that life starts at conception and goes to natural death. And that's kind of how, and a lot of them have had that journey on that. But yeah, I mean, there's a combination. It's not just Catholic.
I think that it's long been associated with Catholicism and certainly illustrated in stories that we've seen in film and in books that Catholics tend to oppose abortion and also the death penalty. How is that being utilized to bring more conservatives on board?
Well, we did, having the conversation. So somebody like myself, who was for a long time, a political operative and working in Republican campaigns around the state, you know, be it the state, national, et cetera, you know, I just have a pretty broad network and know a lot of folks from different aspects. And so, just having the conversation, because here's the interesting thing is we've had these conversations as folks in the movement have had conversations, particularly conservatives with other, you know, with conservative legislators for 20 years, like this wasn't even a question. Nobody talked about the death penalty. There was no real legislative effort. And that's why this General Assembly this year is different, because you see a significant, not just number of conservative legislators, but who they are. And that is, you know, that's where you've kind of seen that. And just having that conversation and the people that I've known over 20 plus years, you know, they've had similar journeys, but it's, you know, you have the faith aspect, you have, you know, the fiscal conservatives and the cost aspect. It's the cost is significant when it comes to the idea of death penalty versus life without the possibility of parole. You also have kind of that libertarian wing of conservatives that just don't trust the government to do anything. The government, they're a common phrase among my libertarian friends is, the government can't deliver the mail. We shouldn't put the, human life in executing a human being as a responsibility. So it's been a very unique, conversation. And how many times I've heard either from the folks kind of on the ground or policymakers when we kind of talk to them about this is, I've never been asked that question, or I've never, it's never been posed to them. And over the last 18 months to 2 years, we've done a lot of work. I say we, it's more other folks than myself, have done a lot of work in having those conversations.
And we're going to talk a little bit about the legislation pending in the Ohio mm-hmm. General Assembly. We are joined today by Michael Hartley of the organization Ohio Conservatives Concerned About the Death Penalty. Michael, you've been described as a Republican operative, and you did work mm-hmm. on the staff of Governor John Kasich, and you also worked mm-hmm. on his campaigns, including some work mm-hmm. for a super PAC that supported Kasich's presidential mm-hmm. primary run back in 2016. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about what it was like being part of a governor's administration. Often mm-hmm. a governor can be the last shot for somebody on mm-hmm. death row. Mm-hmm.
So I'll give, if you don't mind, I'll actually backtrack a little bit. So when I kind of early part of my career, I was in the Attorney General's office under Betty Montgomery, and she was the Attorney General when the death penalty was reinstituted. And I had, I got to see on the executive floor there in the Attorney General's office, I got to see the process when it came to death penalty. And as far as the Attorney General, who kind of, the best way I can describe it, they execute the execution, right? To see the effects that happened. So fast forward, and I saw that, and it kind of registered. But I've, I obviously was staunchly pro death penalty back then. And as time go on, I kind of kept that. And then in the governor's office under John Kasich, while I was in there, there was a couple executions, and I got to see. I was in senior staff, and when you're on the floor and in the room when it comes to an execution and the governor, you see that, you see like the weight. And for, for somebody like John Kasich, who is a man of faith, it weighed significantly on him, and you could see it. And that's when I started the idea of putting that, again, still being pro death penalty, but that concept of putting that weight on a person was that really made me start thinking about it. And it's a very somber, to answer your question, it is a very somber day. It's a very somber place when an execution occurs when you're in the governor's office.
We'll be talking with Hamilton County Prosecutor Joe Dieters next. We've already recorded mm-hmm. that conversation. I think it's fair to say that when it relates to the politics of the prosecutor's office here, Joe Dieters mm-hmm. would position himself as a tough-on-crime guy. And I think mm-hmm. that often includes in any type of prosecutorial election that you're pro-death penalty. And I think what our listeners will hear the prosecutor say is, like, look, these are the laws. This is mm-hmm. the statute. This is what's available to me. And these particular crimes meet those criteria, so I will pursue it. And he criticized mm-hmm. other prosecutors who you've seen run in recent elections saying that they will not pursue the death penalty. He says it's unconscionable. So how would you advise somebody, a Republican mm-hmm. office holder in particular, in a position to pursue the death penalty in a criminal case? It's available. It meets the criteria. It's what the law says you're supposed to do. How do you advise them not to do that? Or would you?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of things that go on in that process. And I think there's listening to the family, the victim's family members is one thing. I think also understanding, the process and understand where we are in this state. I don't fault, I would ask anybody, any prosecutor, I don't think they should bring their personal views into the process. When I'm going to say, well, do you bring your personal views into any other, any other issue that you address? And again, I've known Prosecutor Dieters going back to 1998 when I started, when he ran for the first time I met him was he ran for state treasurer. You know, he's a good man. He's an honorable man. And, you know, he has his beliefs and that's fine. But again, you know, I think there comes a time when we have to, and I think that question's being called now by this, by these companion bills in the House and Senate, which, by the way, they're significantly bipartisan, and this is very rare that you've had, you know, companion bills introduced that have bipartisan co-sponsors. But the question ultimately is: does the death penalty, does that reflect Ohio's values? Say what you want. We are a pro-life, fiscally conservative state, and have been for a long time. Does the death penalty and what comes with it, does that reflect our values as a state?
We should note that State Representative Gene Schmidt of Loveland is one of the mm-hmm. co-sponsors of the legislation that would abolish the mm-hmm. death penalty here. We have not had an execution in Ohio since July of 2018. The lethal injection cocktail used by the state was criticized, and then there was difficulty finding a manufacturer. And I'm mm-hmm. wondering if that struck anyone's conscience, as far as you know, that perhaps the way we do this is wrong and maybe the process mm-hmm. overall is wrong.
I think that's part of it. I think, you know, in conversations I've had, I think that weighs into people. I'll put it this way. I think that started the thought process in a number of particularly policymakers of, you know, well, okay, this is, you know, there's these issues. Yeah, we still have it on the books, but should we? And there's these issues, and people that, you know, you've heard folks talk about, well, let's figure out another way to execute. And some of the suggestions are interesting. But, you know, I kind of go back. Is that who we are in Ohio? Is that what we want? You know, is that how we want to represent ourselves and our beliefs and our values? But I do believe, you know, that's a very good question you asked, because I think that started the process is, well, we can't even utilize this. Let's examine it and see if it even makes sense to have anymore.
What do you think the chances are for this legislation pending in the state legislature?
It is by far, and again, I go back 20 plus years, and there has been, particularly in the last couple of years, a significant movement toward it. I'll just tell you nationally, people are looking at Ohio because, you know, we're Ohio, that there's a real opportunity, a real possibility. This will have a very thorough debate, and I think the opportunity for repeal is not only significant, but incredibly possible. And that, you know, those things happen, you know, the previous, you know, 20 years or however long it's been, you know, Democrats would introduce, death penalty repeal, and that would be it. There'd be no hearings, there'd be nothing, right? What you've started to see and what you see this year is, you know, not only is it bipartisan, but look who the co-sponsors and the lead sponsors are, like, you know, Gene Schmidt, which, by the way, if you get an opportunity to interview her or talk to her, her journey on this issue is one that is common, but I think quite significant. And I'll allow her to obviously tell that, but it's similar to a lot of folks, but hers is very interesting. And I think there's, you know, it has driven her to be, you know, literally, she's one of the best advocates on this issue, in regards to repeal that I've seen. And, if you know Gene Schmidt, she, doesn't back down, and she's happy to have the conversation with anybody. So
Michael Hartley is a member of the Ohio chapter of a national organization called Conservatives Concerned About the Death Penalty. And he has been our guest talking about that today. Michael, thank you so much for the time you gave us. We do appreciate it.
Absolutely. Anytime, happy to talk about it. And thank you for having me.
You got it. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition On Demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Hamilton County Prosecutor Joe Dieters will continue to prosecute capital cases when he thinks the death penalty fits the crime. I spoke with Dieters earlier, and here is our pre-recorded interview. Joe Dieters is the Hamilton County Prosecutor and joins us now via Zoom. Joe Dieters, welcome back to Cincinnati Edition.
Hey, thank you very much for having me.
It's our pleasure to have you. Your predecessor at the prosecutor's office, Mike Allen, said of you in a recent Inquirer article, quote, "He's a very strong proponent of the death penalty. The citizens of this county elected Joe as a prosecutor. It's an option available to him, and he feels very strongly about it." Is that a correct characterization of your feelings?
I think it's a correct perception of my feelings. My feelings are that It's a much bigger question, and it's happening across America, and it's happening here locally. The issue becomes, what is the role of the prosecutor in a major urban area? And as we sit here today, we have a constitutional, viable death penalty. As unpleasant as it is, Ohio has that. And I swore to uphold that law. And the only thing that I'm so particular about in terms of a death penalty case, and I think we maybe have had one or two in the last 3 years. I mean, it just doesn't happen very often that we have a case that matches the specifications needed to proceed. But the Ohio legislature passed this law back when Justice Pfeiffer was in the legislature, believe it or not, back in the late 70s, early 80s. And it is one of the most restrictive death penalty laws in America. Just as an example and anecdotally, I mean, our victim's family can't talk at the hearing. I mean, we are really constricted in what we're allowed to do, say, everything else. But the reality is, we have this law. Now, can you elect a prosecutor who chooses to pick and choose the laws he enforces? We're the executive branch. We're not the legislative branch. We're not the judiciary. And my job is to enforce the laws in Ohio as passed by the legislature and signed by the governor.
And so just to simplify that, it sounds like because this is the law in the state of Ohio, it's what's available to you, and that's what you were elected to uphold, and that's why you will on occasion pursue this when it meets the specifications.
That's correct. And my opponent in the last election vowed to not follow that law, which I think is unconscionable. I mean, if I decided tomorrow, you know what, this domestic violence nonsense has gone too far, I'm not going to prosecute domestic violence anymore. I mean, it's that ludicrous. You can't pick and choose the laws you want to enforce. You can place emphasis on certain types of offenders that we run into. Generally, my predecessors, not Mike Allen, but Cy Lease, I mean, his entire being, it seemed, was obscenity. And, you know, he had those notorious fights with Larry Flint and everything. And when I got elected prosecutor, I made it very clear that I was not going to be the moral conscience of Hamilton County, but I'm going to deal with violent offenders.
To that end, you know, I'm thinking to the December killings of Nitesha Lattimore, the 29-year-old woman, and her 3-year-old son, Nilo. You are pursuing the death penalty against the defendant there, 21-year-old Deshaun Brown. And you mentioned that you're not going to be the moral conscience of Hamilton County as it related to, you know, Silesa's pursuit of obscenities. Can you talk a little bit about your personal morals or any type of challenges you face as an individual when you consider the weight of a death penalty case?
Yeah, it's, I mean, obviously this is the most serious thing we pursue. I personally am a Catholic. I recognize what the Pope said and friends of mine who are priests have said, and I respect their opinion, but you know, I don't want to get all religious on your show, but even Jesus said, you give to Caesar what is Caesar's. I work for the government. I do what I swore to do. And in my mind, it's right with my God. And if I was an atheist and I swore to uphold the law or affirmed to uphold the law, I feel duty bound to do that in the state. I had a recent discussion last week with a gentleman I know, and you probably have heard of. He's former auditor and attorney general, Jim Petro. And Jim, I have a great deal of respect for. I was state treasurer when he was attorney general. And Jim was pro-death penalty, and now he has decided that he's against the death penalty, which is perfectly fine with me. I have no problem with him being against it. What I do have a problem with, and I told Jim this, if you want to get rid of the death penalty, go to the legislature, go to the governor, and get rid of it. But don't ask prosecutors to ignore their oath. I think that is a very scary, slippery slope for any prosecutor to go down. And it's unfortunately because of the pressures and the costs involved. And by the way, the costs involved are because of the delays that are permitted.
We're talking with Hamilton County Prosecutor Joe Dieters. Today we're discussing the death penalty. So you mentioned that, you know, if former State Attorney General Jim Petro wanted to work on ridding the state of the death penalty, they would work their way through the legislature. There are conversations taking place. You see yourself upholding state law as it exists. Do you see a role for yourself in those conversations in the legislative branch? Would you work at all to dissuade them from moving forward with any potential repeal of the death penalty?
Look, I'm not eaten alive by this subject. I'm going to do my job. Jim asked me when I met with him if I was going to be out front in a pro-death penalty position. And I said, as I sit here today, that's not my intention. My intention, and I hate to bore people with a civics lesson, but I'm part of the executive branch of this, and I don't make the laws. I don't rule on their constitutionality. That's for the legislature and for the courts. All I do is enforce the laws as written. And, you know, is there not emotion involved? Well, sure there is. You wouldn't be a human being if you didn't have emotions involved in some of these cases. The case you talked about where Nilo, a cute little three-year-old boy, after his mother was brutally murdered and dumped in the Ohio River, this defendant took a three-year-old boy alive and threw him in the Ohio River. Now, every time I hear people say, well, this is unfair, but I think about little Nilo trying to stay on the surface of the Ohio River that was going about 40 miles an hour back then, trying to survive, because the only thing that was taking care of him was his mother, and his mother was stabbed multiple times in the neck. And he had nothing. And then he had this guy who decided his life wasn't worth the chance of being caught. So he threw Nilo in the river, a moving river, alive. If that isn't disgusting enough for you, I can give you chapter and verse on serial killers. I've personally my office has prosecuted, I tell people this, they're like, what? 6 serial killers in Hamilton County. That guys that go out like William Kirkland, who killed 5 girls. He was in jail for murder once, got out on parole, and then killed 4 more. And with you talked about my religion. I consider this self-defense, because Kirkland's a perfect example. If he gets out, he is going to kill again. There is no question in anyone's mind. He's hardwired for this, and he will kill again.
We are talking to Hamilton County Prosecutor Joe Dieters, and the ACLU of Ohio suggests in a report that people of color have accounted for a disproportionate 43% of the total execution since 1976. 55% of those currently awaiting execution are people of color. I'm wondering if you could share some thoughts on those statistics.
Well, we take the cases as they come to us. I don't know, you know, we certainly don't base charging decisions on the color of the defendant or the color of the victim. That just never happens. And there's a pretty strong mix of both in terms of victims and offenders in that case. I mean, look, one of the cases that haunted me for a long time, because I was in law school when it happened, was when Joseph Paul Franklin came to Cincinnati and killed 2 kids, 2 black kids in Bond Hill. And Cincinnati police relentlessly pursued a case against Joseph Paul Franklin. We finally got it done. He was executed in Missouri probably 8 years ago, 9 years ago. You know, Ohio didn't even have a death penalty till 81. So any measurement of this current statute back in the 70s has no bearing at all to me or relevance. It may make their numbers look better, but that's not relevant at all. And when I'm confronted with people who make these outrageous claims that, all these people on death row are innocent, I just say, please, will you please name an innocent person that I have sent to death row? Just name them for me. Give me a name. Because if they're innocent, I will correct that very quickly. But what you have to understand in this debate is, and most of your listeners probably don't understand it, when they say innocence, they don't mean they didn't do it. They don't mean that. They mean he had a bad lawyer. The judge was unfair on this objection. It's just nonsensical. And you are guaranteed a fair trial in America. Not a perfect trial, a fair trial. And since I've been prosecutor, these guys have gotten fair trials. And, you know, as long as that's the law, that's what we're going to do. I've had this discussion with the governor. If you guys want to change the death penalty, change it. I don't care. I didn't run for governor. I didn't run for the state legislature. That's your job. And our job is to enforce the law, and that's what we do.
Joe Dieters is the prosecutor in Hamilton County. Joe, thank you so much for the time you gave us. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Anytime.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Our assistant producer is Nick Swartzel. Our technical director is Josh Elstrow. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks. We'll talk again tomorrow.